And welcome to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strausser. It's Thursday, November 21st. We have a great show lined up for you today. We'll get the details about Saturday's Seafood KTOO fundraiser, Forks, Corks, and Kegs. William Todd Hunt will be here to talk about this weekend's Amalga Chamber Orchestra performances. We'll highlight this Sunday's Skate City at Centennial Hall, and we'll get a preview of Saturday afternoon's of Storytelling for Children event. We'll also talk to Nancy Ducherney with Arts Up like we do every Thursday. And before our first guest, we'll hear National Native News. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. In Canada, dozens of people marched in Winnipeg to protest a plea deal given to a man who confessed to killing two Native women, Dan Karpinchuk reports.
Sean Lamb had originally been charged with second-degree murder in the deaths of two women, Lorna Blacksmith and Carolyn Sinclair. But instead, Lamb pleaded guilty to manslaughter and was sentenced to 20 years in prison with no parole for 9 years. That sentence outraged many in the Native community, especially over the fact that police paid Lamb $1,500 to tell them what he knew about the location of one of the bodies. Some Aboriginal justice advocates say offenders are treated better than the vulnerable women on the streets who become their prey. One of the protesters, Chantelle Henderson, says she was abducted by a different man when she was 16, and she says rallies for missing and murdered Aboriginal women are an important reminder.
I'm thankful for that every day, because I know how close I came to being a statistic and being murdered, and no one knew where I went or who I went with.
Meanwhile, Lamb still faces charges in the death of another Aboriginal woman, Tanya Nepinak. Her body was never found. Last year, police searched the landfill where the family believed her remains might be, but nothing was found. Lamb returns to court for her death next week. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
Montana's Little Shell Tribe of Chippewa Indians continues to seek federal recognition. Wednesday, we heard from the chairman. Today, Montana Public Radio's Dan Boyce speaks with U.S. Senator John Tester.
The Little Shell has been fighting for federal recognition for more than 30 years. The tribe did have it, earning recognition in the year 2000. But the Bureau of Indian Affairs took that decision back 9 years later, even though no substantive negative opposition was ever brought forth. Montana Senator John Tester believes the decision was inappropriate.
The fact that they granted recognition and there were no negative comments and then they rescinded recognition, that's a huge problem.
The Bureau of Indian Affairs did not immediately return calls seeking comment for this story, but Tester says the Bureau is currently re-examining its rulemaking process. Until then, Interior Secretary Sally Jewell has written a letter to Assistant Secretary of Indian Affairs Kevin Washburn asking him to reconsider the tribe's application. Otherwise, it needs to go through Congress. Senator Tester is sponsoring a recognition bill for the Little Shell. The state's lone Congressman Steve Daines is sponsoring a House bill. Tester says even though he is sponsoring the bill, he would rather the Bureau of Indian Affairs recognize the tribe without Congress.
From a congressional level, it's done a lot of times for political reasons and not the right reasons, and that's why the department needs to do it.
Tester does want Congress to act to boost the budget of the Bureau of Indian Affairs, which he says was cut during the federal sequester, but he acknowledges that kind of money is hard to come by in Washington these days. For National Native News, I'm Dan Boyce in Helena, Montana.
Code talkers from tribes across the country were honored for their service in World War I and II. Matt Laszlo reports on a ceremony at the nation's capital.
A decade ago, Congress bestowed the nation's highest civilian honor, the Congressional Gold Medal, on famous code talkers from the Navajo Nation, but it omitted those who served from other tribes. On Wednesday, the heroes from 33 other tribes were also honored by lawmakers at the Capitol. Code talkers were able to use their native tongues to get secret messages past German troops, which House Speaker John Boehner highlighted during the ceremony.
They mobilized the simplest weapon, language, to thwart the fiercest enemy the free people have ever known. And they made a difference.
Oklahoma Congressman Tom Cole, a member of the Chickasaw Nation, says code talkers served honorably even as they were mistreated back home.
And the code talkers of World War II, like African Americans and Japanese Americans, often were barred from full participation in American life. But they still served with pride, with patriotism, with honor, and with sacrifice.
One code talker, 96-year-old Edmund Harjo of Oklahoma's Seminole Nation, attended the ceremony at the Capitol. For National Native News, I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington.
Today we remember Chief Walter Northway, who died November 21, 1993 in Alaska. The Athabascan leader was believed to be 117 years old at the time. He was known for preserving traditional ways. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. Our first guest today is Christy, and she works here at KTOO, and talking to us about actually tomorrow. Saturday, right?
Saturday.
I don't even know what day it is. I just say the date. Right. So Saturday's fundraiser is called Forks, Corks, and Kegs.
Yes. And it's going to be a lot of fun. This is the event formerly known as the K2 Seafood Festival.
You know, I was wondering about that. Yeah. I had that moment of, where's the seafood festival?
Like, this sounds familiar.
All right.
But this year we decided to kind of broaden it a bit, see if we can appeal to more people in our community. So what we did is invited six caterers to prepare both a salmon and a halibut dish for everybody to feast upon. And keeping with tradition, Alaskan Brewing Company is doing a tutor tasting, as they always do, and that'll be from 4 to 5. And then from 5 to 8, we'll have this incredible meal, salmon and halibut. And then this year, we worked with Specialty Imports and hand-selected some wines. So we'll also have a no-host wine bar as well as no-host beer bar. And we'll have a little something for those who can't get a babysitter. We want to welcome even our little listeners. So we will have a little area for the kids to color and just kind of hang out in so that everybody feels very comfortable at the event.
Great. And it's actually at the Jack, right?
It's at the Jack this year. It's a great space for it. It gives us a little room to stretch out and, you know, decorate a little more. And we also added a silent auction, which is something we haven't done before. It'll be small, very travel-centric, little teaser there. But it'll be fun. And we're kind of using the silent auction to segue into our holiday auction, which is kicking off on Monday, the 25th. So
that's great.
Yeah.
So as far as those caterers go, you know, because everybody's always looking for new salmon and halibut recipes. I know I am. So which who's catering there?
Let me tempt you,
please,
with these names, and I'll give you a little sample of what they're making.
Great.
Okay. So we have Suwana Cafe.
Oh, awesome.
Incredible Thai, yes. And one of their dishes will be a Penang curry halibut. And then we have the Breeze Inn. And they are doing a pecan smoked halibut, Mediterranean olive tapenade with jalapeno cheddar. I feel like I needed to read it in that voice.
I like
it. Thank you.
I liked that voice, yeah.
We have the Devil's Hideaway with us, and they're doing a red curry salmon with red potatoes and green peas. And the Silverboat Bakery is making a cioppino. I know everybody says it differently. I like with the hand, cioppino. And then Abby's Kitchen is doing a mahogany salmon with Asian butter barbecue sauce.
Wait, say that again.
Asian butter barbecue sauce.
Nice.
It's going to be awesome. And we always have some nice sides and salads and stuff to accompany the meal. So you will be well fed.
What is the, you said the Devil's
Hideaway.
What's that?
So I don't know if you recall the Bacon Fest event last year. They came out in first place at that competition. And they're hidden away up Outnock Bay, above where the Waffle Company is. What is
the
name?
It's in Squires.
Yes, it's
right.
In Squires.
Right.
And they're turning out some incredible food. So this will be a real treat to see what they have going on with fish.
Yeah, that's great. So this is, it is a fundraiser.
Yes,
so,
for the station.
For the station. So what is the cost of the ticket?
The ticket, so the tutor tasting, you can just come and do the tutor tasting, though I think you'll want to stay for dinner. So that's 4 to 5, and that's $10 per person. And then the actual dinner, which will run from 5 to 8, is $35. And then kids 5 to 12 are $10, and then under 5 is free.
Okay. Yeah. And where can people get tickets?
They can jump online at ktoo.org. On the sidebar, there's a beautiful, delectable seafood ad. Just click on it. And that'll take you right to the registration page. And then also you can buy tickets at the door.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And so you decided to change, you changed venues also. So it's like a whole new kind
of. We did. Yeah. We kind of wanted to freshen it up a bit. And we feel like, you know, beer and wine appeal to a larger audience. And we wanted a little room to stretch out and, you know, so the kids can run around a bit if they want to be there and just, you know, give everybody a good time. And it was kind of time.
It was time. Nice. Well, it's exciting. It's a great name, Forks, Corks, and Kegs.
Thanks.
Did you say it 10 times fast already?
I can't do it.
And then you said the holiday auction is coming up.
It is.
So, what is that?
Well, every year, twice a year, we have a holiday auction and a spring auction. So what we did this year for the holiday auction, typically we'd be on air all day, 8 hours of getting you to call in your bids. And we were thinking about this, and we were like, how can we make it a little more interactive and user-friendly? Like, what if you can't get to the phone, but it's the item that you want? So we have moved all bidding online. So you can do it from the comfort of your home, from your smartphone, if you're bored at work, whatever you want to do. You just go to KTOO.org. You'll see a banner for the auction. Click on it. All of the information you would be giving to somebody over the phone, you're just going to type into a form, register to bid, and then have at it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
You said that you might be on next week talking about featured items. So is there like one a day that you're
So what we're going to do is just to kind of keep people like updated on what's going on and movement in the auction, we're going to have an item of the day just for folks here in Juneau. So you'll hear about it during morning edition on your drive to work. And then you'll have until 4 p.m. at the end of a Juneau afternoon to bid on it. So I'll be on just for a little snippet of a Juneau afternoon all week next week, just talking about the auction and then getting people to go ahead and bid on that item of the day.
So those items of the day can't be found online?
You can see them online, okay. And you can start bidding on them on just on that one day. So I'll give you a little bit of a heads up, everybody. The first item of the day will be a rhubarb pie. And that's all I'm going to say. It's going to be wonderful. Next week is a week for pies. We knew this.
It's true.
We're ready, Juneau. We're ready.
That's nice. Oh, yeah. It is the week of
pies. It is the week of pies.
I don't know what day it is. Thursday, November 21st here on the Juneau afternoon. Well, that's awesome. Anything else you want to tell us about Forks, Corks, and Kegs coming up this Saturday?
Just come and check it out. Bring your kids if you can't get a sitter. We're trying to make it as family-friendly as possible. We'll have some fun Karen and music going on, and it'll just be a nice night out and a delicious feast. My gosh.
I know. That sounds great.
Yeah.
And what a great way to support your local radio station.
Please.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on out.
Yeah, thanks, Christy.
Thank you.
How much I love you.
welcome back to Juno Afternoon. It is indeed Thursday, November 21st. My name is Shona Strausser, and in the studio with me, I have William Todd Hunt. Hi, William Todd Hunt.
Hello, Shona Strausser.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you again. It's been too long.
Yeah, at least 2 weeks. So, MAGA Chamber Concert coming up.
Yeah, this weekend. We've got actually a pretty cool lineup. As always, I try to bring something a little bit different to these chamber orchestra concerts. This time we've got actually one most interesting thing. I mean, everything on the program is interesting, but the really different thing is I've got Tyree Peeney to write a piece for electric cello and chamber orchestra.
Really?
So you might not have ever even seen an electric cello, but maybe you can imagine what it is. It's kind of like the electric guitar sort of equivalent, but it's a cello. So you like plug it into the amp and you've got all these effects and whatnot. So it's a completely original, brand new piece where the world premiere is this weekend.
Does Tyree play it?
No, actually Tyree's not playing it. We're bringing in a guest soloist from Fairbanks, Carl Knapp.
He's
amazing. Yeah, he's great. He actually comes down for the Juno Symphony concerts on a regular basis.
Okay.
So he's a professor up at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and really loves coming to Juno even when it's snowy. Actually, it's really warm for him, so he's happy.
Of course.
Yeah.
So is he's an electric cello guy?
Actually, he's not. This is the first time he's played cello. It's like I was trying not to mention that, but no. So you can see his world premiere on electric cello. No, but he's really into it. As a matter of fact, yesterday we were over at the Studio A trying out different amplifiers and trying to figure out the sounds and all that kind of stuff. He's like, yeah, you know, in a different life, I think I'd have been a rock guitarist or something like that. Like,
he could be a rock cellist.
He could be a rock cellist.
There's a great band, Polyphonic Spree. They have a rock cellist.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're really great.
Okay.
Anywho, I digress. So what's the music that you're playing?
It's a one movement work about 10, it's maybe not even quite 10 minutes long, 9 or 10 minutes long. Lisa Evius, the concertmaster of the Juno Symphony, is doing a solo piece with us as well. That's the Vaughan Williams, The Lark Ascending, which is completely the opposite of what you'd think an electric cello concerto might sound like. It's a beautiful, ethereal, soaring melodic lines. It's just totally gorgeous and almost indulgent music. A four-movement suite by Ottorino Respighi, based on 16th-century lute music, of all things. And this was written early 20th century, I'd say like 1920, thereabouts. So it's, again, a really different thing you don't hear. So it's called Ancient Airs and Dances. The symphony on the program is by Etienne Meul, a composer I would gather pretty much nobody's heard of around here, but he was a contemporary of Beethoven living in France. Mm. You might have seen the posters around with Beethoven, if you know what Beethoven looks like. Beethoven in like a beret holding a baguette and a bottle of wine with one of those black and white shirts and red scarves. So that's kind of silly, but he's sort of France's answer to Beethoven. It sounds a lot like Beethoven. As a matter of fact, this piece, the symphony, his first symphony, was written at about the same time as Beethoven 5, the ba-ba-ba-bum symphony. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, so a pretty really wide range of styles and something to interest everybody, I think.
Nice.
Yeah.
So the MAGA Chamber Concert, Chamber Orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So how did that come about?
So actually this, it's kind of funny, it didn't dawn on me until very recently, but this is the 10th anniversary concert. Surprise! We did 2003, we had our first concert. It was out at St. Paul's when that church was brand new. And we did like Schubert 5, we did some pieces from Messiah on there as well, and a few other things I forget now. It's been a while. But we did concerts every once in a while, but mostly accompany operas is kind of what it's done most of its work doing. Just in the past few years, I'm like, you know, dang it, we're going to do some of this rep that the Juno Symphony is too big to do that are fantastic pieces. They just never get done. So it's like, all right, so the MAGA Chamber Orchestra needs to put on an annual concert, and this is it.
Oh, well, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so how many is it? How many do you have in the amount?
So this one is it's actually one of our smaller numbers, mostly just because of the pieces, you know, require less people. I want to say 24 people involved in this. Like last year, Schubert, the unfinished Schubert Symphony was on there. That was probably one of our biggest. That had 35 or 36. So a typical Juno Symphony might have 55 people, just to sort of give you an idea of the difference in size.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Where is it again?
Oh, right.
And times
it
and
is at Northern Light Church, which I've found to be a wonderful location for an ensemble of this size. You get that immediacy of sound plus all the warmth. So Northern Light Church downtown on 11th Street, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday at 8, Sunday at 3. Let's see, tickets are available at all the like Vendini locations, Hearthside Books, the Jack. Of course, on our website, operatogo.net as well. If you get your tickets in advance, there's a discount. I forget how much. I want to say it's $3 off if you get it early, or you can get it at the door, and it's 20 general at the door, I think, 15 seniors, and $5 students. $5 student tickets.
I'm going back to school.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Of any age, yes.
Oh, well, that's a great idea.
Yeah, or even like younger than, if you're younger than student, you can get in for that price too.
Nice. So what's up next for you, Mr. Todd?
Oh, my goodness. So after this, I collapse into a gelatinous blob and get up about 10 minutes later and start really working on the Rory Stitt opera premiere that's happening in late February. So we're sort of in the middle of orchestrating now and casting and all that. So, yeah, getting things revved up.
That's
gonna
exciting.
Be, yeah, it's
I can't
be
wait
something.
For
it's
it.
A big project that's been years and years in the making.
Yeah.
So, but it's going to be great.
Well, super. I like how that you've got all this original work coming. You have the Tyree, you know, working on the electric cello.
That's one thing that I guess sort of made one of my unofficial missions is to try to expand the rep of what we've got to hear. People want new music, I think. I mean, we want the old stuff too, but
we want it all.
We want it all. And
great.
I will give it all to you.
Careful.
Oh, right. Well, you know. Come to the concert and find out.
Yeah. Amalka Chamber Orchestra performances Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
Saturday at 8 p.m., Sunday at 3 p.m. Yes. at Northern Light.
Yep. That's it.
Fabulous. Thanks, Todd.
All right,
always
thanks,
a pleasure.
Sir. Yeah, likewise.
And here is Garrison Keillor with Writer's Almanac.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 21st of November, 2013. It's the birthday of Sir Arthur Quiller Couch, born in Cornwall, 1863. Published fiction, literary criticism, put out an anthology of English verse that was very popular, and is remembered today for his advice to writers. He said, "Whenever you feel an impulse to perpetrate a piece of exceptionally fine writing, obey it wholeheartedly and delete it before sending your manuscript to press. Murder your darlings." Murder your darlings. In other words, to avoid being too precious about your writing and to trust in simplicity and efficiency. It's the birthday of Voltaire, born Paris, 1694, the satirist who came under the influence of freethinkers in his youth and was imprisoned for his writing or sent into exile numerous times. Died a hero in 1778, best known to us for his novel Candide. Voltaire, who said, "If God did not exist, man would have to invent him." He said, "As long as people believe in absurdities, they will continue to commit atrocities." It's the birthday of Isaac Bashevis Singer, born in Poland, 1904, came from a family of rabbis, grew up in the Jewish quarter of Warsaw, broke away from his Orthodox upbringing, emigrated to this country in 1935, wrote short stories, dozens of collections of them, and novels, memoirs, many children's books, almost exclusively in Yiddish. And he did it on a Yiddish typewriter that was no longer manufactured, and so there were no spare parts. And it's the birthday of the writer and director Harold Ramis, born in Chicago, 1944, co-wrote a great number of comedies, including National Lampoon's Animal House, Caddyshack, Stripes, Ghostbusters, Groundhog Day, and Analyze This. Here's a poem for today by David Allen Sullivan, Permission Granted. You do not have to choose the bruised peach or misshapen pepper others pass over. You don't have to bury your grandmother's keys underneath her camellia bush, as the will states. You don't need to write a poem about your grandfather coughing up his lung into that plastic tube, the machines wheezing, almost masking the kvetching sisters in their Brooklyn kitchen. You can let the crows amaze your son without your translation of their cries. You can lie so long under this summer shower, your imprint will be left when you rise. You can be stupid and simple as a heifer. Cook plum and apple turnovers in the nude. Revel in the flight of birds without dreaming of flight. Remember the taste of raw dough in your mouth as you edged a pie. Feel the skin on things vibrate. Attune yourself. Close your eyes. Hum. Each beat of the world's pulse demands only that you feel it. No thoughts. Just the single syllable, yes. See the homeless woman following the tunings of a dead composer. She closes her eyes and sways with the subways. Follow her down inside where the singing resides. Permission Granted, a poem by David Allen Sullivan from Strong-Armed Angels, published by Hummingbird Press. And used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Produced by Joy Biles, assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, November 21st. I'm Shona Strasser, and in the studio with me, I have Midgey. Hi, Midgey.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. And you're here with Taku Roller Sports Club.
Yes.
And there's a cool event happening on Sunday at Centennial Hall.
Yes. It's our third family skate, and it's called Skate City. It's this Sunday from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., and it's the old-fashioned skating rink kind of atmosphere with the disco ball and the DJ and the fun skating things from limbo to couple skates and all that cool stuff.
That sounds like a great time. So, Taku Roller Skates, Roller Sports Club, tell me a little bit. You know what? This is the first time I've actually heard. I mean, I knew what you all,
right.
I've seen the event stuff, but
right.
What do you all do?
Taku Roller Sports Club is a nonprofit club that actually was born out of the passion for roller skating that my derby partner and I have. Her name is Money Honey, and I'm Midgey Moto, and we used to be the coaches for the Juno Roller Girls, and we were there with them for a while, and then we decided we wanted to broaden the horizons of skating in Juno, so we formed Taku Roller Sports Club about a year ago, and through that, we've gotten kids on skates through community schools. We have a kids skate camp, and we also have adult skating classes and events on Thursday nights, and then Centennial Hall asked us to partner with them to do these family skating events on Sundays. And we said, heck yeah, we're all over that, because that's what we're about is roller skating.
Oh, I love that. An entire, yes, that's great. So what, you said on Sunday there'll be a DJ, you've got disco ball.
Yeah, DJ White Chocolate will be there.
Nice.
And we have the mirrored ball. They dim the lights. It's the whole disco-y looking theme. It's a lot of fun. We do have a few pairs of skates to loan out. We encourage everybody to bring their own. And if you rollerblade, definitely bring those. And we will also, we're very excited that this time we have a skate vendor. 2-in-1 Skate Shop from Anchorage will be down, and she is bringing skates to purchase. So we've had a couple of our skaters go ahead and pre-order their skates, and it's not too late. You can reach out to her at 2in1skateshop.com, and that's shop with two P's and an E. And you can order your skates now, and she'll bring them down with her. It's lots and lots of fun. We've also had lots of parents bring kids. Parents who don't skate get in free, and then the kids can skate or blade.
Oh, nice. And is there an age limit on this, or as young as possible,
as old young as possible? And as old as you want. It's not derby. It's roller skating. So it's a lot different. It's fun. It's for all ages. Kids 3 to 10 are $5, and adults ages 11 and up are $10 and for the whole event. And so if you're under 3 and you can skate, you're in luck.
Nice. Well, speaking of under 3 and skate, didn't you say that you started skating?
Oh, I can't even remember when I didn't roller skate. My parents actually taught me how to skate in a hallway in a home that we lived in, where one parent was on one side and the other parent was at the other end of the hall, and they pushed me back and forth, and I would hang on to the wall to hold myself up. And we often wonder what that floor looked like when we were done, if they ever, because it was my dad was in the military, so it was a government housing, if they actually stripped the floors or something, because I put lots of nice little skate marks, because back in those days we used metal wheels.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I had those little strap-on skates, which were awesome.
Oh, good. So what are some of your favorite things to do as a skater?
I have had the fortunate skating history to be able to say I have speed skated, I've ballroom skated, I've played roller derby, and the only thing I haven't really done is jam skating. But I think one of my favorite things is speed skating. My endurance isn't all that great, but it's awesome to try and push yourself and see how great you can go. But I really have an affinity for roller derby. I played with the Salt City Derby Girls before I moved to Juneau. Then I played with the Juneau Roller Girls, and I was very excited to help get them going. And then I go every year to RollerCon, which is a national conference on roller derby in Vegas every summer. So this summer I'm going for my fourth season. So it's a lot of fun to learn these new things about skating. But most importantly, just rolling, just putting on my skates and just rolling is the best feeling ever.
Wow, I've learned so much just in this interview. That's wonderful. I love it. So, skate jam, what is that?
Jam skating is it's very artistic, and they use a different kind of skate than speed skating. They use more boot skates and things, but it's you'll have to Google it. It's hard to explain. It's people defying gravity on skates. It's phenomenal, and it's a dancing kind of skating. I think there are some jam skaters in Juneau, and we'd love to have you come to Skate City if you're a jam skater. It's just so much fun to watch. It is just amazing, and it's a lot of fancy footwork.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So this event, tell us the time and the place one more time.
It's at Centennial Hall. It's called Skate City. It's 3 to 6 p.m. Tickets are purchased at the door, $10 for adults and $5 for kids.
Oh, that sounds like a great, great time. Mijimoto with Taku Roller Sports Club, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll see you skating, Juno, on Sunday.
Yes.
And speaking of skating, I had to throw in this little tune here, PYT, Michael Jackson. It's what I used to skate to back in the day.
You know, you make me feel so good inside. I've always wanted a girl just like you. Such a PYT. Pretty young thing. Ooh. Where did you come from, baby?
Been denied. He's in love.
welcome back to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, November 21st. I'm Shona Strasser, and in the studio with me, I have Ann Fuller and Pete Griffin here to talk about the Storytelling for Children event this Saturday. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you, okay. Shona.
Yeah. So you said this is part of, well, let's start with the event first, and then I'll ask you what, yeah. So what is this Storytelling for Children event?
It is a chance for youngsters and their parents and story lovers of all ages to come to the downtown library. We're meeting at 1:30 in the meeting room of the downtown library this Saturday, and Becky Bear, myself, Ann Fuller, and Pete Griffin, I have stories to share for about an hour, and we're saying it's best for children under 7, but it, of course, if you would love to hear another story about the gingerbread man who ran away, you should come.
Oh, perfect. And so storytelling, will it be kind of in the traditional storytelling oratory, or will it be reading from books, or...?
Oh, it'll be oral. That's okay. National Storytelling Network sponsors the Telebration every year, and they promote storytelling. It was formed back in the in the 1980s to preserve and perpetuate the art of storytelling, which had been dwindling as an art over the years. And there were some places like Appalachia where storytelling was still a big thing. But the interested folks across the nation got together and formed the organization. And a Telebration resulted from this, which is an annual event held across the country. Actually, 6 continents across the world host this event the Saturday before Thanksgiving every year to promote storytelling.
Wow, great. And so this is Juno's does it. Who else? Is it kind of a United States? There's places all over the states, or...?
Well, yeah, it's hosted in all. Every state hosts one or more Telebration events, and there's on the National Storytelling Network on the website, there is a link to Telebration events across the country. So if you happen to be somewhere else and you're interested in a storytelling event for Telebration, it'll be right there.
I know that Anchorage Storytellers Guild is doing a concert this Saturday night called Telebration also. And Juno has been doing this for about 15 years. Different venues, a rotating cast of tellers, but we all get together in November. This week especially, isn't it a great time to start telling the stories?
Yes, it's perfect time, yeah. So, Pete, how did you get involved in oral storytelling?
Well, years ago, I got roped into doing an essay on the radio, and it was a popular thing, and it actually puzzled me. And I asked a station manager one time. I said, "Well, you know, folks had called in; they really like it. What do they like about it?" And he said, "You told a story." And he said, "Not only that, you told a personal story, and people really like that." And that has kind of blossomed, and I joined the National Storytelling Network to learn a little bit more about how to tell better stories and what makes a good story. So that has grown. When I retired from the Forest Service, I jumped into storytelling with both feet. It's been terrific.
Wow. And what about you, Ann? How did you get started in?
It occurred to me, I think probably through Folk Festival and watching performers, and being truly impressed with the soul-bearing aspect of public performance. And that's when I realized that I've been listening to and collecting stories my entire life. So I prefer to tell twice-told tales. I tell stories that I remember being told, that were told to me by my grandparents. And it's just part of how the world makes sense to me. And I have since gotten fascinated with how stories function, and here in Alaska, we still use stories. You know, no person taking a boat out, even a commercial fishing boat, would take a new hand out without hearing their stories. Who is this new guy? What kind of things has he had? What adventures does he have? And you learn a lot about what people think is dangerous and how they take responsibility and how they perform by listening to their stories. So that's real true life storytelling.
Yeah, so as far as these stories go on Saturday, what stories will you be doing?
Well, I will be telling a story about shrews, and my stories are personal stories, they're natural history stories, they're growing up stories. But so I'm gonna talk to kids about shrews and some of the unique aspects of what life is like to be a shrew.
And I have in mind some traditional tales, Mr. Bun, which is the gingerbread man, and also Lifting Up the Sky, which comes from Vi Hilber, a wonderful storytelling elder from the Puget Sound. And Becky Bear will be joining us, and so I'm hoping there's an Anansi story on the list. So that comes from West Africa, the trickster character, similar to Coyote or Brer Rabbit.
Great. And so do you do other events throughout the year, this as part of Storytellers or as part of the National Storytelling Network?
Yeah, actually, we usually have an adult and family storytelling event that Saturday for celebration before Thanksgiving. There are too many conflicts this year. I couldn't come up with enough storytellers, so we're going to delay that until mid-January and host it out at the Visitor Center at the Glacier. And there are other storytelling events going on around town at the library, libraries, and here and there, Food Truck Fridays often features a storyteller.
Yes.
So there are lots of opportunities to listen and hear stories. Mudrooms is another monthly event.
Mudrooms really just caught on fire.
It certainly has. Great personal stories.
Yeah. Well, fabulous. The time again Saturday?
Is 1:30 at the downtown library.
Oh, it sounds like a great, and 1:30, and it's 2 hours, 1 hour?
1 hour.
1 hour, great. And it's open for kids, you said, ages?
Best for 7 and younger. Of course, anybody who loves stories should come.
Great. Well, Ann and Pete, it sounds like a great event, and all the best with it. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon, quintessential storyteller there, Bob Dylan. And in the studio with me, Nancy DeCherney, the one, the only. Hi, Nancy.
Should we just make stories up?
We should just make stories up.
And then...
And this event is happening?
Yeah. No, okay. So this evening, this weekend, Gold Town Nickelodeon has a whole bunch of really cool movies.
And I kind of, there's, just go on their website and look at them all because they're all very interesting. They're still doing the snowboard or the ski ones, the snow fest ones, but they have a bunch of other really fun stuff.
That James Gandolfini movie is going to be there too.
It's like Waja and In Upset and a whole bunch of stuff. So go see those. This is your last weekend to see Ladies of the Camellias. And I have to say, I saw this last weekend. It is hilarious. I do not know. I mean, it's fun, it's delightful, it's funny, it's wonderfully done, and you're going to just love it, so you better get your tickets now.
That's right, because last weekend sold out, right?
Yep.
So, there you go.
And also, we're coming up on the next to the last weekend for Treasure Island, or do we have two weekends? I can't remember.
I think we have three weekends
Okay,
left.
So, but don't drag, because you know what happens. It's pretty soon it's going to be Nutcracker season, and then the next thing you know, you forgot to see Treasure Island. All right.
Arg.
I think they're going to have Dress Like a Pirate Day the last Wednesday. So
yeah,
you
Wednesday,
could
December
save it
4th.
For then.
Right. I can never save it. I always got to dress like a pirate.
Yeah, well, there's that. I was wondering about that parrot you've got there. Okay, so, and you've already mentioned that on Friday we have Beer Friday. Oh, no, we haven't. Friday night, speaking of pirates, it's Beer Friday at Perseverance. So you go at 6 o'clock, and the Alaskan Brewing people will be having tastes of the seasonal and rough draft. And then you go in and see the pirate movie. Why aren't they having a rum tasting?
I know, right?
Come on. Okay, so we also have Seussical the Musical, which is a great collaboration between the Juno Lyric Opera and the Theater at Latitude 58. It's wonderful the way the opera company is collaborating with young people. That's at Thunder Mountain High School Auditorium at 7 o'clock. We have a couple of opportunities to see that this weekend, though. So, don't mess around. International Dance Workshop Weekend with Lee Otterholt. He is comes with the Juno International Folk Dancers. They'll be at the Filipino Hall for the weekend. You can buy the package for $45 or just pick, if you can't go to everyone, $10 a session. And he's been here before. He's really, really good. So if you enjoy dancing, there you go. John Unzichter is doing classical guitar for the weekend at the Baranoff Hotel. Let's see. Saturday morning, it's the STEM thing, the Saturday thing, where you go and kids can take stuff apart, hopefully put it back together again.
That's
maybe.
Right.
I don't know whether that's necessary, but there are a couple of fundraisers. The second annual Valley Baptist Academy fundraiser is happening out at the Valley Baptist Church at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't look up the details on that, but you can give them a call. Seussical the Musical, you have 2 and 9 o'clock that you can see that on Saturday. And then the Tutored Beer Tasting, the KTOO Seafood Festival thing, starts out with the Tutored Beer Tasting. This is at the Jack. It's at 4.
Forks, Corks, and Kegs.
Yeah.
I just want to say it a bunch of times.
Could
Forks,
you, what
Corks,
was
and
that
Kegs.
Again?
Yeah, Forks, Corks, and Kegs.
Well done.
Thanks.
Could you say that with rocks in your mouth?
I'll try next time.
Fish bones. It is also the Filipino Community Dinner presentation and fundraiser. And I feel like there's another fundraiser, like the Trail Mix one, and I forgot to put this on this list. But there's a lot of fundraisers. So just get out your wallet and go around eating for the weekend. That's what you do on Saturday night. Because all of these are wonderful programs that do need your support. So let's see. We've got the Amalga Chamber Orchestra. This is Lisa Ibias and another person doing some really wonderful, beautiful pieces at Northern Light Church. That's at 8 p.m. There is a... And we're in bad trouble because I forgot page 2.
I love that. I love that.
Oh, dear. Well, okay, so we're going to look at this on the phone because we can do that. You can go to the Juno Arts and Humanities Council website and pull up the calendar and see everything that is going on. It's kind of amazing.
You can even look up ktoo.org and you can get a link to the calendar.
So there are quite a few other things going on in the week. And I was being so good about printing this off to begin with. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Let's see. Sunday. Mm-hmm. What do we have on on Sunday? I know there's things.
Sunday, well, there's we've got shows going on. It's the closing matinee performance of Ladies of the Camellias. That's at 2 p.m.
And we don't want to miss that.
There's a performance of Treasure Island at 7:30 p.m. I know that. There's also that same Amalga Chamber. It's actually Amalga Chamber Orchestra. Their concert is happening also that day. The Skate City at Centennial Hall is happening. The Taku Roller Sports Club, which Mijimoto was just here to talk about. That's at 3 p.m. And you can take your whole family to skate old school style. Yeah, that's how I got my first date, roller skating.
Really? That's so sweet. There's also music on the fly. Travis Couture will be out at the airport at 6:45 to 7:45 playing music. If you're going to arrive, let's assume that some planes come in and out by Sunday. Okay, that would be good. There's an arts roundtable on Monday, and I do want to talk to all the arts groups. I think we're going to do it at noon, but we might do it at 5 o'clock, so stay tuned. Getting planned for the Christmas holidays, maybe some packages, that different kinds of ticket packages and stuff like that. So please come. There is a East Coast, there's the East Coast dance stuff that's going on. That's on Monday. Isn't this fabulous that we can do this right off the phone? Let's see. On Tuesday, we have a Tlingit wall hanging class at the Canvas. The TEDx folks at the downtown library at 6 p.m. are doing the session is on altruism. Sounds quite interesting. The Marie Drake Planetarium is having something on Zeus. Zeus and Jupiter. And let's see, that's always free over at the Marie Drake Planetarium. And if you've never been to the planetarium, you should go.
It's so cool.
It's so cool. It's like a funny little thing that we have in this town.
I'd like to do a Pink Floyd laser light show there.
I bet they would let you.
Yeah, I bet they would too.
There, at 7 p.m. is an Oxfam Hunger Banquet out at the university. And all they ask is that you bring something that, like a canned good or something that can go to the food bank for that. On Wednesday at 10 a.m., okay, we're into the pie sales.
Okay.
All right, so there's pie sales all over the place. There's Camp Damps day before Thanksgiving pie sale at Foodland IGA at 10 a.m., and then that is shortly followed by a pie sale for the Juneau Co-op at 2 o'clock. So there's a lot of pie, and I think Co-op is also doing theirs the day before on Tuesday. There is, let's see, on Thursday, it's Thanksgiving.
So take an art
and
break.
And Hanukkah.
Yeah, that's right.
That
Hanukkah
happens
early.
Once, like every 400 years that the
really?
Two are combined. Yes, so it gives you a whole bunch of new food opportunities. But all of them involve fat, which is really good.
Pumpkin latkes.
Pumpkin latkes, yeah. Sweet potato, this and that. So I don't know. It should be is a really exciting weekend. Again, I would just really encourage people not to miss these plays that we've got. We've got, what, four of them this week? Ladies of the Camellias, Seussicals, Perseverance. Maybe there's only three.
Three, maybe.
Yeah. But there's
a lot.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
And we're so fortunate to have these things. So
we are. So I did want to ask how the Shasha Higbee performance
that
went.
That was a very, very interesting sort of thing. I've never seen anything quite like it. The costuming was intricate and very, for people who are fans of wearable art, this stuff was phenomenal from a distance and also very close up. She did not use, there was no, it was, she spoke like a bird, I guess it was. So the whole time there was little bird sounds and her just sort of talking like a bird and interacting with her little creatures and big creatures that she had made. And it was a very, very different sort of performance and very beautiful. And I thoroughly enjoyed the whole situation. They are snowed in and not as happy about that as they could be. But we tried to encourage them. But, yeah, that was a wonderful sort of thing. Very unusual thing for Juno, I think.
Yeah. That sounds great. So while you're here, Nancy, can we talk a little bit about First Friday in December? Because it is the biggest first.
That's the gallery walk.
It's huge, right?
Yep. And I would like to say right up front, if anybody has plans to would like to have their stuff in the little gallery walk flyer that I do, it would be really helpful to get that sooner rather than later. There's a lot of sort of a tendency for First Friday stuff to come rolling in at like Wednesday at 5 o'clock. It's like, you know, people. So, but it is going to be a wonderful, at our place, we have Plain Rain Painters. Many people are familiar with their work. They went to Provence this year, so it's going to be not paintings from around here particularly, but paintings from other fancy places. We have some artists in the in the lobby shop, and Kristen Garreau is putting on a special art auction and celebration. She's fundraising. She's creating a scholarship in memory of Bethany Berriman, who I think many of you remember. So start your day picking up your little gallery walk thing at our place and then go out and then come back for that particular event. But there's usually, I don't know, 15, 20 places that you can go. And hopefully it'll be a nice little puffy day like this.
Yes, a perfect Christmassy
day. Yeah, yeah, it's a very, people are sort of hinting at me at things that they have going on. I'm not sure who's got what, but yeah. Get your word in here, people.
That's right. That's a great information about just getting the brochure in, you know, or getting the information for the brochure to you, because they're so helpful. Actually.
Well, and if you want, it helps people. I know Cycle Alaska is going to have stuff. I believe they've got Jeff Brown's photography and some trail mix stuff out there. So different and unusual places will be having things going on. And I just encourage you to make an evening of it. Have a wonderful time.
Cool. Well, thank you very much, Ms. Nancy DeJourney, here with
Arts
Up.
All right.
And here we'll hear a little bit of Bird Note on this Thursday, November 21st.
This is Bird Note. For shorebirds, like bar-tailed godwits, black-bellied plovers, and dunlin, mud matters. Few mudflats in the world are more important than those of the Yellow Sea along the coast of China and North and South Korea. There, more than 70 species of shorebirds rest and feed. Nils Warnick, executive director of Audubon Alaska, explains.
That food in the mud gets converted into fat that they use to fuel their migration. There's 8 shorebird species, whereas sometimes their entire population relies on the Yellow Sea as one of these critical fueling stops.
What's happening on the Yellow Sea coast that's hitting shorebirds so hard?
You've got, first of all, huge population and very high human densities. Chinese especially, but also in certainly in South Korea, a huge economic engine burning right now. And so the cheapest place to build and expand is to go out onto your tidal flat. You know, about 386 square miles of mudflat being filled in per year in the Yellow Sea, the equivalent of San Francisco Bay, especially the long-distance migrants, they can't do it without that fuel. It's as if you're an airplane and you're flying over the Pacific. It's not an option of landing. If you run out of gas, you're in big trouble.
You can find links to Audubon's work on the issue at our website, birdnote.org.
Programming support comes from Pie in the Sky, now taking orders for holiday pies, pastries, and desserts, including fruit and nut stolen, plum pudding, bûche de Noël, and gluten-free desserts. Pie in the Sky, located on Seward Street or at 523-9135.
Thanks for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. This is KTOO Juno. We rebroadcast on translators K276 AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K201 AM in Gustavus, K220 BT in Hoonah, and K210 AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI cable on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
The vote today, I think, is an indication that a majority of senators
believe, as I believe, that enough is enough.
Senate Democrats vote to change the filibuster rules. A simple majority will cut off debate on nearly all presidential nominations.
For Thursday, November 21st, this is All Things Considered.
I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. The new rule applies to executive branch nominees and all judges except Supreme Court justices.
Senate Republicans are furious over the rules change, which was passed by a simple...